Welcome to the Church of the Pines weekly podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. If you have any questions about our church, how you can get involved, or how you can support, please visit churchofthepines.com. We hope that you enjoy this week's message.
Well, if you're here for the first week, I just want to catch you up because we're in a second week of a series we're calling Frequency. Cutting through the noise. How many of you are experiencing some noise in your life? Like it comes to us from all kinds of places. And one of the most common questions that we get asked, as a matter of fact, last year we did a survey at Easter and we asked if we could teach on any one topic, what would be the most important thing that you feel like you need to hear for your life? And without even a close second, the number one answer is, how do I hear from God? How do I determine the voice of God in my life? How can I tell if it's me? How can I tell if it's God? How can I tell if it's somebody else? How can I tell if it's that brisket taco I ate last night, right? I mean, how do I know which is which? And so, again, kind of in a prayer season, as we get ready to step into the fall and get back into a busy routine of life, I just wanted to take a few weeks and dive in on this topic of how do we hear from God? Our theme verse for this series is out of John chapter 10. Matter of fact, why don't you take out your message notes? The worship guide that Matthew was talking about in there is what we call message notes, and it's got fill in the blanks, and you received a pen so you can follow along with the message. And then it's got three hole punches, and I encourage you, go buy your little three hole punch binder to put those in. Hopefully sometime in 2020, we'll be able to get you all a binder, and you can have your very own Church of the Pines binder to put those in. But for right now, maybe you need to go get your own, put a place to store them so that you can, a place that you can store them, place that you could keep. And then you can go back throughout the year and look back and be reminded of what God's been saying to us throughout the year. It's just a great way to do that. We want to help you in that way. But here's our theme verse, John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. This is Jesus talking. He's kind of giving the example of what his ministry looks like. And he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep, they listen to his voice. So the gatekeeper opens the door for the shepherd. And the sheep, they are listening. Everybody say listening. They're listening to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them. So we see God leads. The shepherd is leading. One way that he leads is from ahead. And his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Such a key thought there. But he goes on to say, but they will never follow a stranger. And I love that Jesus is kind of pointing out here that there are other voices. Sometimes that's why it's so, and one of the big reasons that it's so hard to hear God's voice and determine and distinguish God's voice is because there are so many other competing voices in our life. And that's why we kind of want to tune in to God and focus on God. But it says they will not follow a stranger. And in fact, they're going to run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Last week, we just kind of dived in on the and set a theological foundation of the fact that God does still speak. Because there's plenty of groups out there and denominations who would have you believe that God no longer speaks, that the last time God spoke was written down in the Bible, and God has never spoken to man since. It's all in the Word. And I believe in the Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God, and we lean on it for all of its truth. But God did not stop speaking with the Bible. I think God's biggest desire is to have a personal one-on-one relationship with you where he is speaking to you in a very personal way with a personal voice. As a matter of fact, a guy named Dallas Willard has this quote. I want to share it with you. He said, if God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice that we could ever do is to tell people that they could have a personal relationship with God. God wants to be present in your life. God wants to be very present. He wants to speak. He wants to have that personal relationship. But it's on us to begin to hear. And that's what we said last week, is that it's not so much that we have a speaking problem. God still speaks. It's not that we have a speaking problem. It's that we have a hearing problem. This week I was reminded of a funny story I've heard. Maybe you've heard this as well. But this older gentleman, he goes to the doctor, and he's getting his regular exam, and through the course of the conversation, he says to the doctor, "Doctor, I'm really concerned about my wife because I think that she's losing her hearing." And the doctor was concerned as well. He said, "Well, that's concerning." He said, "We need to get to the bottom of that." He said, "Let me tell you what you do. You go home, And when you have a minute, stand about 25 feet away from your wife and ask her a question. If she doesn't hear you and doesn't respond, then just step five feet closer and ask her again. And then do that until you get a response. And then when you come back, you can let me know, you know, how far it got. And then we can begin to give her a prescription and figure out what we can do to help her. So the guy gets home, his wife's cooking dinner. So he starts right immediately at that moment and gets about 25 feet away and says, honey, he says, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. So he steps 5 feet closer. Honey, what's for dinner? No response. Does that two more times. Finally, he's 5 feet from her. Honey, what's for dinner? And she turns around to him and says, for the fourth time, it's lasagna. Yeah. So it's more of a hearing problem than it is a speaking problem. Some of you might need to go home and try that out yourselves. Might save you some strife in your marriage. My name's Les. I'm your friend. I'm just trying to help. But God's so keen on this being a relationship and being present in your life. You can see it throughout the Bible. I want to point out one scripture to you. It's in your message notes out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. And when the angel appeared to Jesus' dad, Joseph, he began to tell him, hey, you're going to have a son, and I want you to name him Jesus, and all of that, and lays out the plan to him. But notice what the angel says to Joseph. He says, the virgin shall conceive, and she'll give birth to a son. And yeah, you're going to name him Jesus, and yeah, he's going to grow up natural. But you know what they're going to call him? They're going to give him a nickname, that there's going to be more to him than just this name, Jesus, that they're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That Jesus began his ministry to show us what it looked like for God and man to walk together on the earth. And can I tell you, Jesus modeled such a beautiful relationship. And one of my favorite passages, and I quote it all the time, is in Jesus' ministry, Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what my Father tells me to do. What a beautiful picture of a relationship that I believe that God wants to have with each and every one of you. That you're so sensitive to his voice and you're so close in relationship that there's nothing that we don't do without hearing from God first, which can seem such a foreign concept, I think, to a lot of people. And for some people, I think it could even seem like, well, that's great for those holy rollers, right? That's so great for these super, super Christian people, but I don't know that I could experience that, or is that an everyday kind of thing. But I'm here to tell you today, it is. And God speaks to us for a variety of reasons. And that's kind of where I want to start today. We're going to talk about why does God speak? And then we're going to spend a little bit about how does God speak? And then we'll close out the series talking about how do we distinguish, like really get into the nuts and bolts of how do I distinguish if it's God, if it's me, if it's the taco, which one is it? We'll talk about that as we close out the series. But today, first, why would God even speak to you? Like if God's talking to you, why? And I think that's such a big question. It's important to know in anything that we do, it's important to know the why. Everybody say why. It's important to know the why. And I believe one of the reasons that God speaks to us, if you're following along, you can fill this first blank out in the message notes. He speaks to facilitate friendship. You know, that's the testimony of so many of the Old Testament saints that they could call themselves friends of God. Abraham said, we used to sing that back in the 90s. I am a friend of God. You heard? It's just me. You know that one? Yeah. I'm a friend of God. Moses, I got this in your notes in Exodus 33. It says that Moses, that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And you can say, hey, that's great for Moses and that sounds great for the Old Testament, but I could never experience that in my own life. But I was studying this week, and I've shared this a couple of times already this week, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the writer of Corinthians says that as good, and I'm just paraphrasing kind of a really long chapter and some really deep theological thoughts, but to sum it all up, Corinthians 3 says that as good as Moses had it, and as close as Moses was to God, we're even closer. That because of Jesus, because of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and now the Bible says that he has left us the Holy Spirit, who is the voice of God, to speak into our lives because of that relationship, friendship. Because of that, we got it better than Moses ever had it. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that when you look at all these Old Testament saints, all those guys lived and died with just a glimmer of a hope of what you and I have as an opportunity to have relationship with God today. Moses would have killed to be standing where you're standing today to be able to enjoy that relationship. Abraham would have killed, probably literally, if you've read the Old Testament. A lot of blood in the Old Testament. But seriously, like all the Old Testament saints were hungry and longing and looking to the season that we're living in now. And that as we get closer and closer to the end, which I believe that we're as close today as we have ever been. I mean, you got to be, like, mathematically, we are closer today than we've ever been. No matter what you believe, when it is, we're close. That as we draw closer to that, they're all, Hebrews 12 says that they're all standing up in heaven, in the grand stands of heaven, the Bible says, looking down, calling out, cheering us on. Hey, run your race. Run it well. Go all in. Do it. Do great things. We believe in you. All that to say that they experienced some friendship and some relationship, but as much as anything else, we've got a better relationship and a better promise from God right now where we are. And he wants to be a friend and he wants to speak friendship into your life. Another reason why God speaks to us today is to give us guidance. Guidance. Like God knows. Can we all agree at that? Like God knows what's coming up. God knows what's coming up down the road. God knows where you're going. And there is a tension in this. Because when God tries to guide you, chances are the direction that you're going, you're not going to want, ultimately, I don't think you're going to want his guidance. Because if you're going in a direction, you're going the way that you wanted to go. And if God's got to change and come in and help you switch it up, there might be a little bit of fight right there. Because you like where you're going, but God knows better. God sees further. God knows what you're coming up against. And he wants to guide you. Maybe the path that you're on is not the path that you need to be on. And God loves you enough to step into your life, to speak to you and let you know, hey, this is not the way that I want you to go. He wants to guide you. That's back to that whole shepherd analogy that we were talking about in our theme scripture. But look at Proverbs 3 and verse 6. This is out of the Message paraphrase. It says, listen. Again, that's that word. The sheep, they listen for his voice. I think that's such a big key in this whole thing is that we got to be listening. Got to be listeners. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere that you go. Think about that for a second. In everything, we've made this joke as long as we've been in the church, but we say it kind of funny, but listen for God in everything. Before you reply harshly to your spouse, can I get an amen? Before you type off and send off that scathing email to a coworker, or before you leave that comment, Lord, help us with Facebook and social media. Before you leave that comment, can I tell you, nobody cares. They really don't. It might make you feel better, but everybody else is like, we give big thumbs up around here. But before we do that, before you leave the house for work in the morning, before you send your kids off to school in the morning, before you take that important call, before you have that important meeting, listen for God's voice. Just take a minute and say, Lord, are you speaking in this moment? Can I tell you, more often than not, he is, and he's wanting to communicate to you. He's the one who's going to keep you on track. He wants to guide you. He's your heavenly Father who loves you. I think another reason why God speaks is to give us and to provide perspective in our life. Again, God can see the beginning. God sees the end from the beginning. And we've said this often here as of late, but there is more that we can't see than we can. And maybe nobody's ever told you that before, and maybe that sounds a little strange to you. But there is actually more going on that we can't see than we can. The Bible says that the world was formed. God formed the world out of the things that were unseen. That God was able to take something that was not there and make it there. Anybody take something from nothing? Made something? No, nobody. Everything starts with something. God started with nothing. And he made it. God has a perspective that none of us have. And when he wants to show you something, maybe you don't see it the way that he wants to see it. Maybe that's one of the reasons you struggle in your relationships. is because we're always seeing people based on how they act. We're always seeing people based on what they do. God doesn't see them that way, and God doesn't see you that way either. Can I get an amen, a thank God, a oh me? God doesn't see you like you see people. And you should be thankful. I'm thankful that God didn't give us what we deserve. But the Bible says that while we were dead wrong in our sin and in our life, God sent Jesus to die on the cross. And every person is somebody that God loves and that Jesus died for. And if you're struggling in your relationship, it's because you're not looking at them the same way that God looks at them. And you can ask, hey, God, give me a fresh perspective on my life. 2 Corinthians 5 says that, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That we don't walk according to the things that we can see, but we recognize that there is more going on that I can't see than I can see. And God wants to give us a fresh perspective, and He wants to help you see things the way that He sees them. Some of you, He wants to help you see your kids the way that He sees them, because you're about to wring their neck. And He's like, no, don't kill them. They're going to, you know, if you raise them right and they grow up, they'll have grandkids, and the second batch is better than the first batch, right? Just hang on. Some of your grandparents, you agree. Like, the better version's coming. Don't kill them today. And we don't have that perspective in the moment. I shared with our dream team, we have a little huddle every morning early, and I shared with them this morning that when we got ready to plant the church, people pat you on the back. Hey, you're going to start a brand new church. Good for you. So proud of the step of faith that you're taking. But can I tell you, that step of faith for us in this season was just the first step of faith. Every step in this relationship with God is a step of faith. Let me say this. If your relationship is not, your relationship with God and your Christian journey is not requiring any faith on your part, then you are not experiencing everything that God has for you. We are on a faith journey. And that it starts just by simply asking God. God wants to speak to you. God wants to give you perspective. God, I can't see everything that's coming up. I'm going to take this step. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you some perspective. It's kind of some reasons why. But then I had another example of this, seeing things the way that God sees them. I heard this story out of Wisconsin. We got a friend back in Mississippi at our home church. It's a big, for some reason out of nowhere, there was a season in the 90s when Mississippi became Packers fans because Brett Favre went to the University of Southern Mississippi, and then he went to the Packers. So half of Mississippi turned into Packers fans. Just like now, half of Mississippi is now Cowboys fans because Dak Prescott played at Mississippi State, and so it's kind of cyclical like that. It's hard when you live in a state that doesn't have any of its own professional sports. God bless Texas. Be thankful for where you live. So you know, he's a Packers, and it just turned into this guy, Nick. He just loves everything Wisconsin, you know, for whatever reason. He loves the Brewers, too. And there was one season, Wisconsin football, the Badgers is not known, you know, really they have been historically have been good. Anyway, there was one season that they were not doing very well, and there was a particular game that they were losing bad and just getting kicked all over the field. But the crowd kept cheering and kept hollering and kept celebrating like they were actually doing something good. So like something bad would happen, but the crowd that's watching the game was like cheering and celebrating. Nobody knew what was going on. None of the guys on the field knew what was going on. What turns out what was happening is the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team, were in a playoff game, and they were doing good. And everybody at the stadium was listening to the Brewers game while they were watching the Badgers lose their game. So you see that they were listening to, they were seeing one thing, but they were listening to something else. And I also want to encourage you that regardless of what you're looking at, and regardless of what's facing you in this season of life and whatever's going on around you in the situations and the circumstances, you may be seeing one thing, but God's trying to speak something completely different. He wants to speak to you. Yeah, you can give God praise. That's all right. We can clap. So if that's why, then I guess the next question for me is how? How does God speak to us? What does that look like? And I want to spend the rest of the time talking about that. And when you look throughout the Bible, you can find multiple ways. There is at least 12 or more ways that God speaks. You know, God speaks just through, you see in the Old Testament, through clouds and thunder and rumbling. And, you know, God speak. One time God spoke through a donkey to somebody. Like, God can speak any number of ways. And that's a fun study if you ever want to do it. Just go through and see the different ways that God speaks. But when you really break it down, you notice that God, there's one predominant way that God speaks. And we're calling it today the whispers of God. The God whispers, that he speaks softly. And one of the greatest examples that there is of this in the Bible is a story out of 1 Kings where there's a prophet, a mighty man of God, mighty prophet of God. He had a battle with some prophets who were worshiping another god. He completely obliterated them. God showed up big time and just embarrassed all of the enemies. And then the queen over all those priests and worshipers, she wanted to kill the prophet. So the prophet goes from one minute to where God's moving big and miracles, signs, and wonders, just incredible stuff happen, to the next thing, the prophet's running from him, running from the people who want to hurt him. He's scared. From hero to zero in about one day. Next thing we find, the prophet, he's hiding out, and he's really asking God, "Hey, God, will you just take me now? Like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Will you take me? I want to die." God said, "Hold on a second." He said, "I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to show you that I love you, that you're my guy, and that I got your back." He says, "Get ready, because I'm about to speak to you." How many of you know when God gets ready to speak to you, you kind of want to put on your seatbelt, and you're like, "What's coming?" So God says, "Hey, sit back," and that's where we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 19. They're going to put it on the board. God says to him, he says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then all of a sudden there was a great and mighty wind, tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in that wind. Sometimes we think that that's what we're expecting, right? God's going to speak to me. How's he going to speak to me? He's going to speak to me. There's going to be this big, mighty ruckus, and I won't be able to deny or miss that this moment is God. But in the wind, after the wind, there was an earthquake, big, mighty, rumbling ground. Sometimes this, "Lord, shake the ground, right? Move. Let me feel it." But he wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a big roaring fire. And can I tell you, you can look throughout the Bible, and God has appeared in a fire, but in this moment, he was not in the fire. And after all of that, and after the fire, there came a gentle whisper. And when you look throughout the Bible, especially throughout the New Testament, you can see that that is primarily the way that God speaks. It's gentle. It's relational. It's intimate. Come on, married people, where are you at? You're more sensitive and more apt to respond to the little gentle whisper talk than you are to the big yelling and screaming and hollering. But God wants to speak to us in whispers. That's why it's important to begin to tune out the noise, to begin to eliminate some of the influences, some of the junk and the voices that we let into our lives. I spent a whole season of my life, I was on the road for years and years and years, and I had a guy tell me one time, because I was in ministry as well, he said, "Man, you must have got some great messages written during that time." I was like, "Nope, I didn't. But I could tell you everything that was going on ESPN radio, because I listened to it all day, every day." And all of us have those things in our life that we could take that focus and spend that time to put ourselves in position to be sensitive and hear from God, but we're allowing all kinds of other noise and junk in our life. And if God wants to whisper to us, God wants to speak to us in this whispers, and the King James Version calls it a still, small voice, then we've got to put ourselves in a position to be hearers. But let me encourage you this morning. If he is whispering to you, can I tell you what he's whispering to you? What he's trying to communicate to you? One of the things is encouragement. You're like, "Oh no, Pastor, God's not trying to encourage me." Well, you've been in one of those churches where they just tell you all the time how no good, low down you are, and you could never amount to anything. Can I tell you that you're never going to hear that from us? Yeah, we all got stuff we need to get right. We all got stuff going on. We could all be better. But God's speaking to you in a whisper of encouragement, because he wants to spur you on to do everything that he's called you to do. Again, coming back to, he doesn't see you as you are. He sees you as your potential. He sees you as what he's called you to be. That's why step two is so important. If you don't know how he's wired you, you don't know what's going on, you don't know your design, then we can miss this. God's saying, I made you on purpose, for a purpose. And I want you to do everything that I've called you to do. If he's going to say it, what's he saying? What does it sound like? And these aren't in your notes. You can jot these down if you want to. But he's saying things like, just a reminder that you're my child. I think sometimes as parents, we can miss even those moments. We're raising a daughter. She's 11 years old, going on like 16. And man, she does a lot of things that I don't like. And I'm stepping into that season, realizing what my parents went through at that time. You know, like, I want to be interested, and I want to be encouraging, and I want to be supporting, but I don't like everything, every influence that's coming into her life. I don't like everything that she says. I don't like everything that she's doing, but I got a choice in that moment. I got a choice with all that. I can let her know everything I don't like about what she's doing, or I can just always remind her, hey, you're my child, that no matter what you go through, no matter where you end up, no matter how it goes, you're my child, and I'm always going to love you. I'm going to chase you down, regardless of what you're going through. I'm going to chase you down and make sure you know that you're mine. God's saying the same thing to you because you're his child. He's saying, you're my child. I love you. I love you. And there's nothing, J.D. Greer, he's the president of the Southern Baptist Association now. He wrote a book called The Lord's Prayer, something like that. And he had a prayer in there that he said, God, I thank you today that there's nothing that I've done that can make you love me less, and there's nothing I can do to make you love me more, that you just love me. That's God's whisper to you today. God's voice is saying, you're my child. I love you. And here's something that some of you need to hear, is that I'm proud of you. You're like, proud of what? Well, this is a start. And again, some of you have tried to take starts and somebody's just turned around and beat you right back down saying, it's not good enough. Can I tell you it's good enough today? That God's proud that you've taken a step to get your family in church. That God's proud that you've taken a step to get closer to him, regardless of what that looks like. It is enough. But it doesn't stop here. But God wants you to know he's proud of you. Just like you are proud of your children, regardless. Romans 8:16 says the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us deep in our heart. And he tells us, what does he tell us? You low down, no good, sorry, heathen, reprobate, scumbag. No. Holy Spirit's in us, telling us, just reminding us, hey, you're God's child. He loves you. Isaiah 55 in the Message says, pay attention then. Come close now, listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. God has made an everlasting covenant, an everlasting commitment with you. He's not changing his mind on you guys. He hasn't changed his mind. In the same covenant that he made with David, he's sure, he's solid, and he's enduring with his enduring love. So he's whispering encouragement. Another thing that he's whispering is he's whispering warnings. Oh yeah. Everything that you've done is not the greatest thing you've ever done. Amen? Anybody? Just me? Okay, if I'm by myself, just y'all know Pastor, he can blow it. God's whispering warnings. He's saying, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You've all experienced that. We call it, if you've been around church, maybe you've heard this kind of a Christianese word. We try not to use a lot of Christianese words in the church, but one of them is you just say something like, I got a check in my spirit. Right? Have you ever heard anybody say that? I got a check. What's that? That's a warning. It's God's warning to you saying, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That might not be the way. Thank God that he warns us. Again, that comes back to perspective, that he sees things. You're getting ready to date that young woman. You're getting ready to date that young man. You're getting ready to step into a marriage relationship. You're getting ready to sign that $565 car note. You're getting ready to, right, overextend yourself. You're getting ready to do all that. If you're a child of God, I promise you that there is a voice in you. And there's a whisper in your ear. And we need to find a way that that whisper is louder than this desire. That the whisper, we have room for the whisper to be louder in our life than our hunger. I wouldn't go back to that buffet for the fourth time, guys. I wouldn't do it. He's saying don't do it. Something else he's saying, maybe it's time to end the secret. Maybe you've been walking with this thing by yourself long enough. And you need somebody in your life that you can talk about it with. Can I tell you, I'm just going to tell you another minute about small groups. Small group advertisement, you need some people in your life that you can talk about the things that are going on. Everybody doesn't need to know, but somebody needs to know. And I encourage you this fall, take a step, get in a group where you can begin to end the secret. Or maybe for you, it's get help. You need some help. Can I tell you, mental health, anxiety, depression, like all that's real. And it's so interesting to watch the battle between the academic field and the church world. Because one's saying it's all physical, it's all up here. I know some church people is like, that doesn't exist. It's all demonic oppression and demonic attack. But whatever it is it's real. It's real. And I think, if you guys will let me, I feel like that's starting on September, the third Sunday in September. I think we're going to start a series just to help you with where people are. It's such a big deal in our culture, our society, is anxiety and depression. You see it all in our children and college. It's just whether you like it or not, and whether you know, it's not great, but it is what it is. And if we're going to be the church, we need to help people. So starting the third week of September, we're going to jump on that and talk about that for a few weeks. Let God help us on that. But I encourage you, maybe that's what he's saying to you today, get some help. You see it throughout the book of Acts. Acts 16 says that the disciples were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. He's saying, just, hey, you can't go. It's not time. Don't go. And after they had come to Mysia and they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, he just didn't permit them. He just didn't let them. He's saying, hey, it's not time. Don't go there. Isaiah says it like this. Isaiah 30 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you confirming. Hey, this is the way, walk in it. So he's confirming that this is the way. He's also confirming, hey, this is not the way. Something else that I believe that he's saying to us today is he's trying to whisper to you some direction. It's not just what not to do. Some of you, that's been your whole church experience. You feel like it's just what not to do. Quit doing that. Stop doing this. But God also, I think more than that, if we would put ourselves in a position to hear from him, would give us some direction. Tell us where to go, what to do. We see this in the early church. We see Jesus' ministry. Luke 2 is in your notes. It just says that Jesus was moved by the Spirit. That even Jesus' operation was hearing from God to be where God wanted him to be when he wanted him to be there. The disciples in Acts 20 operated the exact same way. It says, and now compelled by the Spirit. What's that? I'm hearing from God. God's given me direction for my life. He's given me not just general direction for the next 20 years, but actually specific direction to what I need to do when I walk out of this building today. We just take a minute and ask him, whisper, Lord, I want to hear what you have for me to say. What does that sound like? Some things that he might say. He might say, slow down. Hey, you're moving too fast. Why are you rushing into that? This relationship, this purchase, this whatever it is for you. Would you slow down a little bit? At the same time, you could be moving too slow and he could say, do it now. Right? That was my situation. We're getting ready to plant the church, kind of dragging my feet a little bit, and God was like, do it now. Come, move on with it. For some of you, he's saying, just take the next step. Like there's something right in front of you. A step. I've been asking you to take it, been encouraging you to take it. I'm pulling you. But it's up to you to take the step. Take the step. And then fourthly, and we'll close and I ask Daniel to come up. He's whispering. He's whispering dreams. God's put dreams in your heart. I know that for each and every person here. I could tell you that. I don't even have to know you to be able to tell you that God has placed a dream in your heart. I think it's so important what Matthew said at the beginning, that God's put a dream in you, and it probably seems like it is too big for you. And you know what? It is. I believe a God dream is bigger than you. You know why? Because he wants you to lean on him. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to depend on him. If you, the dream that God has for your life isn't bigger than you, then I would suggest, submit to you that it's not a God dream. God's whispering dreams and visions. You see that throughout the Bible. God leads in visions and dreams. Job saw it like this. He said, for God speaks again and again. How does he do it? He speaks in dreams. He speaks in visions of the night. That God's doing things. We had a prayer meeting Wednesday night, our worship nights that we saw in the news, and we were in prayer, and I saw something, just had this not a big grand vision. I wasn't in a trance or anything remotely like that. We were just worshiping and praying, and I saw something. I didn't know what to do with it. I just sat on it for the day, and we had that worship night that night. This was at prayer in the morning. We had that worship night Wednesday night. We were standing there, and I realized that that little vision that I had was for somebody else in the room. And I just said, I didn't know who it was for. I just said, hey, the Lord showed me this morning. Is this for anybody in the room? And that person, one person came up and said, that's for me in this room. And we prayed for that person, and they experienced some freedom from an issue that they'd been dealing with. But I saw it just in prayer in a time that I was spending with God. And Acts says it like this. It says, in the last days, and I believe that we are in the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. God says, I'll pour my spirit out on all people. So he's poured it out, and his spirit and his voice and his life and his love is available for every one of you in here today. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Can we make that our prayer today? Hey, Lord, speak to me. That's something you see in Samuel. He says, speak to me, for your servant is listening. These dreams, God's put something on your heart, and some of you have been sitting on it for a while. God could be saying today, hey, go all in. Go all in. He could be saying, hey, why don't you just give me your best? I'm glad you're here at church today. Why don't you start giving me your best, whatever that looks like. I could just say, hey, why don't you just start making a difference? I've given you a purpose. I've given you a calling. I've placed something in your life. Why don't you use that to make a difference? And again, I believe our response should be, speaks, Lord, for your servant is listening. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? Why don't you just say, repeat after me, Lord, I'm open to hear. We're just going to take just one moment. Daniel plays. Would you just listen for a second? So, Lord, we've listened for a second. I pray that we become better listeners. But then why don't you say this? Say, Lord, I'm eager to respond. I don't want to just hear. I want to do. The Bible doesn't say it's the hearers who are blessed. It's the doers. And if God's speaking to you, he wants to do something in you. He wants to do something through you. So let that be our prayer today as the church. For those of you who are in here and you've got a solid relationship with the Lord, let's be better hearers, be eager to do everything he's put on our heart to do. But there are some of you who are here today, and you don't have this relationship, and you don't have this hope. Today, God's call to you is respond. Respond to what, Les? Respond to what Jesus did for you. The Bible teaches us that the mankind and the whole world was far from God and estranged from God, and we could not have a relationship with him. The whole Old Testament experienced this. But Jesus came, lived a sinless, perfect life, so that he could be a sacrifice for the sin and the issues and the problems for everyone for all time. He did that. He gave up his life. He died a terrible death. God raised him to life on the third day so that you and I can experience the same. And you need to know that if you're here today and you're outside of this relationship, that just like in the Old Testament, you are dead right where you are. And because of what Jesus did, that same life, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, God wants to put that power and use that power in your life today to raise your life, raise you to life. He wants you to repent. That means turn from what you've been doing and run to Him. He wants you to respond today. And I want to give you the opportunity to respond to that. So with everybody's head still bowed and everybody's eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't have this relationship, you know that God's not speaking to you because of it, and you want to step into this, today is your day. You can walk out of here confident in a relationship, confident in a friendship, confident in a God who wants to give you direction, to lead you, to guide you, to encourage you. If you're here today and you need that, I want you to let me know. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to clap my hands. And when I do that, I want you to raise your hand. We're not going to bring you to the front. We're not going to do anything to bring attention to you. We simply want to pray a prayer out loud together, and then Matthew will let you know what to do from there. So that's you. Be bold. One, two, three. Anybody in here, I need to respond to relationship with Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Lord, we love you. Why don't we all pray this prayer out loud together? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that after 3 days, you raised him from the dead. And today, Lord, I trust you as my Lord and Savior. Be the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me. I thank you that I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big praise for his word and for what he's doing in people's lives? So good. So good. Matthew, why don't you come on up?
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Les. Well, as we close the service today, if everyone would go ahead and get out those connection cards that I mentioned at the beginning of the service, and if you hadn't had a chance to fill that out yet, would you please take a second and finish that up? And if you are in here and you just prayed that prayer with Pastor Les, would you please, if you look on there on that connection card, there's a section where it says My Decision Today, and there's a few options there. If you would please let us know what God has done in your life this morning by just checking whatever box was appropriate, whatever decision that you made, and you can drop that in a second. The ushers will pass a bucket down your row, and you can just drop that connection card right in that bucket as it comes past, and we would love to be able to get some very important next steps out to you in an email, just continuing to help you grow and grow closer in your relationship with Jesus. All right, so if you guys would go ahead, please, and finish those up. And that being said, if you came ready to worship God with your giving as well this morning, we're going to go ahead and get that ready. And so, as always, there's multiple ways that you can give here at Church of the Pines. There's a giving envelope for cash and things like that in your worship guide. You can give online and text to give and all those different ways. But you can go ahead and get that ready, please, as well. If you're visiting with us here this morning, please know that there's no obligation or pressure to give whatsoever. We just want to trust that you were blessed this morning by the service. And while you're finishing those two things up, let me just very quickly remind you of a couple things directly after the service. Remember, step two of our next steps, Pastor Les talked about it, is going to be happening right after. Upstairs, when you go out in the lobby, right up those stairs, in what's called the party room, it will be a party. So we always say that, but it's true, it's a party. So if you like parties, or if you don't, go, because it's step two, and we want you there. We'd love to have you there, even if you didn't plan on it. Stick around. There's snacks and things like that, child care provided as well. And also, remember, there's also small group leader training. So come, and even if you're a little on the fence, come and see what that's about. It's going to happen right after the service as well. All right, we'd love to have you there. Well, let's go ahead and stand together as we close. Let's take what we're going to give this morning and let's pray over it together. God, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord, how good you are, how faithful, how loving you are, Lord. We thank you, God, that you provide for us, Lord, everything that we need. And so we take right now our tithes and our offerings, Lord, just a little bit of all that you have given to us. We give it back to you joyfully, God, with hearts full of thankfulness and gratitude. We ask, God, that you would use it, God, to reach people for you, to be a blessing in people's lives. And I pray that you would bless those who are giving today, Lord. Return it back to them, Lord, and bless them, Lord, in every part of their lives. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing that out together. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great.
How great!
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great.
Want every voice one more time. Name above all names.
The name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will see how great is our God.
Name above all.
Going to be at the front. Go have a great week. We love you so much.